This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. Sport Time Pickleball has announced second and third locations in New York and New Jersey as part of a broad expansion plan. Westbury, Long Island, and Wayne, New Jersey locations are joining the already announced Armonk, New York location with a goal of 200-plus dedicated indoor courts by 2030. And my guest is someone who knows all about it, because he is the president and CEO of Sport Time and former world team tennis coach, Claude Okun. Claude, thanks for joining us on Sports Jam.
Hey, Doug, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
You know, we'll get into your whole background of tennis that you've been involved for many, many years. But pickleball has taken the world by storm, hasn't it?
It seems that way. Fastest growing sport in history, I like to say.
Wow. You know, I had Sherry Steinhauer, the LPGA champion, on Sports Jam, and she has become an avid pickleball player, and she talked about how good it has been, less stressful on her legs and knees, and so former athletes are loving this game as well. What was it about pickleball that you said, this is the right move? We need to have more pickleball courts. We need to get those, not only just tennis players who, you know, who maybe would enjoy this game, but people from all other sports.
Well, I mean, there was no sort of aha moment for us or a line in the sand. We, were the largest operator of indoor tennis courts in New York State. So we had 200 tennis courts operating when the pandemic happened and pickleball started to percolate. And we were hearing from our members and people in the community that they wanted us to help them to play pickleball at our clubs. We had the space. We had what we call soft time, times when tennis courts weren't fully deployed or where space could be shared. So we started in the business in what we call hybrid playing environments, shared space between tennis and pickleball. It became clear that people were just jazzed for the sport, that our existing staff and team liked playing, and we could, you know, quickly learn the game if they didn't know it already. And then we said, well, you know, it's great to be able to share space. Some people didn't like it. There were some frictions, but mostly we didn't have that. In our case, people sort of embraced the rising tide, more racket sports, more fun, more health, more social interaction, was mostly all good at Sport Time. But we did recognize that dedicated pickleball environments were better than shared ones, and of course, better for tennis as well. So we started developing dedicated court spaces when we could during the pandemic and post-pandemic period that we're in now. So we already have 71 indoor pickleball courts in operation, and 17 of those are dedicated pickleball spaces, you know, separate from tennis. And obviously, we plan to have 200 more of those dedicated pickleball courts under management in the next 5 or 6 years. So we're all in. We love it. I don't think people have to choose between racket sports. I think, you know, people with racket skills can deploy them across platforms. Some, you know, there'll be seasons and years probably where racket sports lovers do a little more of one or the other. But we're seeing cross-pollination. We're also seeing pickleballers become tennis players. And we're also seeing former tennis players coming back to racket sports through pickleball and then also coming back to tennis. So we love it all. We think it's just great for people.
For those who aren't familiar with the sport, can you give it a brief description so people understand what pickleball really is?
Sure. I may not be the ultimate expert, but people, I know a lot of people like to say it's sort of a combination of badminton and ping pong and tennis. It's a smaller court. It's the same size as a badminton court, or in our parlance and in the tennis industry, it's basically the size of what we call a red ball court, which is the small 36-foot tennis court that we use to train our youngest kids with low compression balls. We, in a lot of our pickleball centers, we're using those courts also for red ball tennis. So it's a great sort of shared resource. For seasoned tennis players, strategically, pickleball is kind of the opposite of tennis, because instead of serving and trying to move forward, you have to serve and stay back. And then instead of turning and playing, returning and playing defense, to be a good pickleball player, you have to return and move forward. You play with a paddle instead of a racket, and you play with a basically a modified wiffle ball, which is lighter and easier to hit instead of a tennis ball. It's easier to learn pickleball than tennis or and other racket sports. I think pickleball may be the easiest racket sport to learn. So people get to basically sort of most adults who are relatively athletic can sort of have a little intro primer, 15 minutes, and they can be competing their first day on the court, which is huge. It's a huge part of what I think makes pickleball exciting is that amateur athletes who haven't been racket sports experts can be enjoying pickleball with friends and new friends right away. So that's my quick and dirty explanation of pickleball, but it's a great sport, really fun.
Is the craze comparable to when racquetball took off? I remember when I was playing racquetball at Penn State, it was all the craze at that point, and you could find racquetball courts everywhere. Is it the
Yeah,
same type of craze?
well, it's interesting. You mentioned before how long I've been in the club business, the commercial racket sports business. And it actually, this is my 50th anniversary year.
Wow,
Young and young
congratulations.
as I may look to you, this I'm 62, and I went to work at an indoor tennis and ping pong club in New York City when I was 12 years old, 2 years before I was legally able to work. I wanted to play tennis, and that I just said I'll do anything to get some court time. And there were a bunch of kids who went to this club. They let us work in exchange for that. I never stopped working at tennis clubs 50 years later. So I have the advantage of having watched in person the birth of the commercial tennis club industry in the 60s and 70s and early 80s before it went the other way. And I saw racquetball begin and end between the 70s and the 90s, early 2000s, when they're basically all the courts are basically gone. I think there are similarities to racquetball in terms of ease of access, right? Racquetball for sure, smaller ball, smaller a racket, a smaller space, no tin like in squash. You could hit that, you could basically hit the ball anywhere and it's a good ball. And the goal is to hit the crack, which is the opposite of tennis, where you have to constantly worry about getting the ball over the net. That's actually harder. So I think ease of access and social fun, and also for not to sound too fancy, but racquetball was a lot more egalitarian. Definitely was easier to, it wasn't a country club sport, and people of all sort of economic and other walks of life were playing together. That's like racquet, like pickleball. It blew up in the parks, where really it brings people together from all sorts of walks of life, which is, I think, one of its great strengths, even though now it's filtering into more club-like environments, which are a little more gated just because people have to pay. But I always try to explain to folks that I think the real staying power test of a sport is the capacity for it to become a business. Like, I think it's a very good thing for that tennis became a viable and enduring business. Same for racquetball, as long as it lasted. And it's absolutely clear that people love pickleball enough that they're willing to spend some amount of discretionary income on it, a fair amount. That's very important, because if something's only free, it generally doesn't last. And people don't invest in it. Infrastructure isn't good. We're going to have great infrastructure in pickleball, right? It's clear that people are building everywhere, indoors, outdoors, cold weather environments like where we know how to do business, year-round outdoor environments like Florida and California, although there's also indoor pickleball in both places already because the weather's becoming a challenge, even in warm weather climates. So, I think there's sort of two timelines. One is pickleball, the exploding sport, and the other parallel timeline is pickleball, the enduring commercial business. I don't think pickleball is going to peak and dive in the trajectory of racquetball. I think it's going to be a much longer curve, and it's going to be more of a conventional curve. And I don't think it's going to have the tail end that goes down, down, down. I think it's a like tennis, it'll become sort of a generational sport. It's just the way it feels. People love it. Why would they stop playing? They can play it for their whole lives. It isn't a sport that's attracted an older group of players, but also young people are playing pickleball. So every indication is it can go on for generations. That's our plan. As a, for it to be a good business, it has to go on for generations.
Sure. And I think the camaraderie, the conversations that you have, very much like when you go out for a foursome to play golf, you can play at any age and really have fun. That's part of the beauty of pickleball too, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I started playing the first time I played pickleball, I played with my wife, who happens to, it happens that she was the number 63 ranked doubles player in the world, the number 87 ranked singles player. She sort of bored, she's hit enough tennis balls in her life. She grabbed me, she said, "Let's go try this pickleball thing." We went to a gymnasium about 14 miles from where we live in Eastern Long Island and played with a group of local players, young and old, all different levels. In this gymnasium, the nets are strings tethered between freestanding basketball poles, played on a wood floor, and had an awesome time, as did my wife, who, played on center court at Wimbledon with Venus Williams. She liked playing pickleball in a gym with people from 20 to 70. It's just a unique blender. And I think one of the reasons, obviously, the pandemic was such a stimulus for both pickleball and tennis was that people were lonely and they realized how much fun it is to play sports in larger areas, not just to be in little rooms with 50 people on bikes or mats, but to play an interactive sport that's social as well. It brought people together, it made them feel less isolated. So it's a keeper.
One of the major reasons that you got involved with sports clubs all those years ago is, you didn't grow up as someone who had a lot of money in his family. You struggled, and the opportunity to find courts was difficult. So when eventually you got that chance, that was your little chip on Claude Oaken's shoulder that, I want to make this accessible to as many people as possible. So I think pickleball kind of fits into that whole, mentality that you had all those years ago, right?
Well, that's one of the reasons I never had even that moment of feeling like I was on team tennis. That's been there's a little of that out in the ether that tennis folks have to, hate pickleball or not at least not particularly support it or play it because there's a turf war. There is in reality a little bit of a turf war for space, right? Because civics, residents of cities, towns, villages, and areas are really advocating for themselves around pickleball effectively, and they're getting municipal organizations, governments, and committees, and all sorts of stakeholders to invest in pickleball. You're seeing a lot of pickleball infrastructure development, and tennis hasn't gotten that love for a long time. There's a lot of crumbling tennis courts. So there is that. How many of those tennis courts will be converted to pickleball? How many will remain? I, of course, again, I said I'm a rising tide guy. I'm a USDA volunteer. I don't want to lose a single tennis court, but I never for a second felt like pickleball was the enemy. I really thought here's a way to get paddles in the hands of people who haven't hit balls before. I know what a joy it is to play a ball striking sport on a court where you learn the geometry. All these games are problem-solving games. Pickleball, just like tennis, is a game of angles and strategy, slowing the ball down, speeding the ball up, attack, defense. These are just really games that make you healthier and smarter. That's what the research shows, that people who play racket sports games for most of their lives live longer. So I'm like, this is a good thing. And you're right. I did. I do kind of have that chip where even though I've built clubs, I want people to be willing to spend money to come to our clubs to value our product and our infrastructure. But I also want to have ways for people to get into the clubs when they're on a budget. And pickleball helps with that. It's a smaller space. It's a little bit less expensive to play and learn. You got it. I think it's a great opportunity to level the playing field a little bit.
How often do you think about the World Team Tennis Days and winning a championship and getting to eventually partner because of your relationships with people like John McEnroe through the years? How often do you think about World Team Tennis? That was, to me, that was a lot of fun.
I loved it. Lost a lot of money. That was the problem. But you're right. I met John and I met Patrick, both of whom were associated with our team. John was the captain, played every year except for one when over the decade we ran it. and Patrick was played most years and coached several years. So out of that really came the John McEnroe Tennis Academy, which is our, you know, world known brand, world renowned brand of tennis instructional brand for juniors. And you know, that's great. I mean, I miss being a team owner and getting to travel with young players and rooting for them in the rest of the year and sort of following personal stories. So many friends are made when you're, you know, that league played 1 month a year. It was a tennis roadshow, small markets, and people travel in buses and coach plane seats. And every day we were on the road for 25 to 30 days. So you know, you really got close to people. That's the part I think about the most. And some of those folks I'm still going to weddings and traveling with, and they're my friends. But I think about it now in terms of the evolution of professional pickleball. You know, a lot of people own teams now, and there was just a merger, as you know. But the teams haven't really started playing yet. There's not the league hasn't coalesced. There's not a plan. And people who are tennis historians will remember that World Team Tennis, when it started, for those who don't know what we're talking about, Billie Jean King created a league shortly after the famous Bobby Riggs match, when she was trying to do things to use tennis as a social change agent. She started a co-ed tennis league where the teams would be comprised of two men and two women. They would be paid equal prize money, and they would travel around and play each other and sort of highlight tennis, but also highlight equality of the sexes.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King, and I'm with the New York Sets, and we're going to see the East-West All-Star Game for 1976.
1976 World Team Tennis All-Star Match. Everett serves to King. High with a forehand, but it's in. And it's in the net. Goolagong hits home. In this great all-star match.
And when the league started, it started in major arenas. World Team Tennis was played in Madison Square Garden. It sort of downsized along the way. In New York, it was then played in what was then called the Felt Forum. Now it's, I think, the theater at MSG. So it went from 20,000 seats to 4,000 seats. By the time we were involved, we were down to 1,000 seats or 2,000 seats. And the best player in the world weren't playing. It was kind of a league for the second tier. And then we would have these legends who would play. So, for instance, when we won our championship in 2005, Martina Hingis played for our team, and she came back to professional tennis through that featured summer. And she didn't lose many games and not many points. She had a hunger. It was amazing to watch her come back at 25. She had retired early. And then she played professionally for several years after that. So lots of great stories, but that's how I think. That's what sort of, when I think about World Team Tennis now, I'm wanting to see professional pickleball not make the mistakes of World Team Tennis and sort of really gain television traction and good markets. And we'll see how that all plays out. I'm very curious about it. I'm not sure I have the appetite to own a team again. I think I lost enough money the first time, but it was a great experience. It was a big part of my tennis life.
You know, for me, it really energized my love of tennis as a young person, because we had Vitas Gerulaitis and we had Ivan Goolagong on the Pittsburgh Triangles. And yeah. I became huge fans of both of those players because of World Team Tennis. So thanks for all you did for that sport, because it was fun. It did, like you said, I know you lost money, but you certainly made me a much bigger lover of tennis. And I think when you have individuals, you know, much like in basketball, people follow individuals, maybe not as much as teams sometimes. And the way the world has changed with free agency in sports, that really started where you started to root for individual players, you know, and not just the sport. So it was really a pioneering kind of thing that Billie Jean had. And you as a coach, you know, bought into all that. So thanks for that.
More thanks to Billie Jean, who's still, as you know, feisty as ever today. And her, at that time, her husband, Larry, who created it with her. And then subsequently her current wife, Alana, who ran it for more than two decades. You know, that was a hell of a team of personalities to have Yvonne and Vitas in your home market. And of course, those were the halcyon days when those were the two of the best players in the world. at the time. And yeah, it was, I used to watch as a kid. It was a $4 ticket. I would go to the Garden or the Felt Forum. I think we had the New York Sets was our first moniker. Billie Jean played in New York, and she'd be, of course, Billie Jean's a New Yorker now. So yeah, lots of interwoven stories. And of course, a lot of pro tennis players creating second careers as pro pickleball players or trying to. I think Jack Sock's doing the best, but people love it.
So when can people expect these locations in, you know, in Long Island and New Jersey, the new ones?
Westbury, Long Island, fall of 24, very soon, right? This coming indoor season after this one, the one that's happening now. Englewood, New Jersey, fall of 24. Wayne, New Jersey, early 25. And Armonk, spring 25. And then we'll be layering it. We'll be announcing more locations shortly. We're going as fast as we can. And the thing about Sport Time pickleball locations is they're going to be large. All of our locations will have between 10 and 20 courts. So lots of play and level rated play. We think scale is important. When facilities are small, they tend to sort of not have enough diversity to satisfy everybody's needs, plus to do instruction and outreach. All of our locations will have full-size courts. A lot of people are shoehorning pickleball courts into available spaces that almost work. But if you've played pickleball on a 26 or 27-foot wide court or a 50-foot long court, it's really tough. So all of our courts will be 60 by 30 or larger. All of our facilities will have 18 to 25-foot ceilings or higher. New lighting, new surface. Basically, you know, my view is that the infrastructure has to be great for people to fully appreciate the game. So we always commit to that. And of course, we have great coaches. So we're excited. We're excited to build this new business that lots of other people are building too, but we think we know how to do it best in our markets, and we're going to try to get there as quick as we can.
You've been an educator this whole time. You have used both being a teacher and your love of tennis and have combined it as a business venture, that it really has been a lifelong, you know, a lifelong thing for you.
Well, I like to think of myself as an educator, but I only did it full time for a short, relatively short period of time. I never became a great tennis player. I wish I had. I still am frustrated. I break a racket now and then. I have a temper. Maybe that's why I understand John. But of course, anybody who plays an individual sport understands the joy and total misery of looking yourself in the mirror on a good or a bad day. Anyway, I did early on balance these two things. I taught eighth grade, and I ran a little school out in Eastern Long Island. And as I was building my seasonal tennis business, but very quickly I realized I had to choose. And I tell this story when I welcome our new employees at Sport Time. I explain to them, I've only once in my life did I get fired. I lost one job. I was director of a school in my early 30s, and I had a 4-year contract that wasn't renewed. And that's really why Sport Time exists. I had to either chase another job somewhere back in the city or somewhere other part of the country, or stick with tennis. I had a club out in East Hampton that was successful, where I worked my tushy off. And I decided this was by the early 90s. And there were clubs actually that were going bankrupt at the time. Tennis was in a big low. So we were able to do a deal where we sort of rescued 4 indoor clubs on Long Island in partnership with the bank. And I was off and running. So it's been a while since I've been an active educator, except my own kids. I raised 5, but
that'll do it.
Since 1994, I've been pretty much running tennis clubs. And luckily we got through the worst times, and the pandemic unexpectedly gave us the best of times again. It's feeling a little bit like 1972 in 2024 these days around racket sports. Lots of people playing more and new players wanting to learn. So we're feeling lucky that we hung around and that we were ready to greet the next wave.
Just 2 more quick questions here on Sports Jam. One being the game of tennis right now. How has it changed since in the heyday of McEnroe?
Well, obviously it's changed with the athletes and with the equipment. It's faster. It's more powerful. I mean, it's just amazing when you watch the modern game. I still giggle sometimes. I stayed up late to watch a women's match from Indian Wells the other night. So this Sabalenka played the young American. Of course, I'll forget her name. Terrific player. And they were just hitting bomb after bomb after bomb, as all the players do. I mean, the men's side, it's ridiculous. Ground strokes at 100 miles an hour, routine serves at over a buck 25, pushing a buck 40 half the time, covering the whole court in three big steps. The average player size on the men's side is over 6 feet. We used to think if a player was over 5'9", that like Rod Laver was the right size for a player. Tall people couldn't bend over with the theory. Obviously, that's not true. And tall people are great athletes and have big wingspans, which help them to play tennis in most cases. So, in every way, the game has, I think, become just elevated and exciting. I mean, rallies are longer. Do I sometimes miss the serve and volleying? I'd love to see more serve and volleying. All you have to do is listen to John on TV, and he thinks there should be more. But there is, but it's coming back. Moving, people are now figuring out how to divert the game's the level's so high that to be the best, you have to be diversified. You can't just pound away from the ground. And of course, Djokovic, is an all-court player, and maybe the best of all time. Certainly, he's making a case. See how he does the rest of the season. I mean, I think the game has evolved like everything else, but I think it's a great game to watch now as ever. I don't think I'm not one of these people who like says, oh, it was better, before. And obviously, I'll tell you one thing that I feel strongly about. It's much better to watch on television or on your pad because, you can see it. I remember watching, they didn't tennis wasn't on television. People don't realize until the late 60s, early 70s. It started on PBS the same year, I think, as Open Tennis started in 68. But I remember watching the finals of Wimbledon the year that Arthur Ashe won. I think that was 72, and beat Connors in that great final. And I mean, I was sitting 2 inches from a TV. I couldn't. I don't think I ever actually saw the ball. So I think we should all just realize that how much tennis has benefited from technology as well. And I love the line call. I love that we don't fight about line calls anymore. I think that's a huge upgrade. Some people miss that. I don't miss it. Why do we want to see fighting? If I want to see fighting, I can go to hockey, which I do. I'm a Rangers fan.
There you go. So the last question, you can't put family in here, so you can't have your wife, can't have kids or anything like that in the answer to this question, but you can go back in time and the people that you choose do not have to be with us anymore. So you go to have a pickleball match. You have to pick your teammate, and who are the two opponents that you would have the ultimate pickleball match? Who would that be?
I'm not good at these kind of questions. I'd be glad you're not asking me who to have dinner with. I don't know. I have to self-promote. So we'll get Johnny Mack. You know how much he loves pickleball. He's been playing a lot for a lot of money. I'm not sure he loves it, but I want him to learn how to dink a little better. But he's getting there. Let's get Billie Jean King on that court because she's so important. And I think a lot of what she did in tennis is actually laid the foundation for pickleball. Not to mention the fact that the most famous pickleball player in the world is a 17-year-old woman, right? And Anna Lee Waters. And I think without Billie Jean, that doesn't happen. So we got Billie Jean, we got me, we got Johnny Mack. I only need one more.
Only need one more.
Oh, I don't know. Barack Obama. Just for diversity, and we need a good president.
There you go. Good answer. Claude Okin.
I hear he plays. I know Michelle plays a lot of tennis. They she used to come. She used to come to all the World Team Tennis matches in D.C. when we still had the franchise. She and her daughters, which was a great franchise. They got 5,000-6,000 people every night there.
Fantastic. Sport Time Pickleball has now second and third locations underway in New York and New Jersey. You heard Claude mention the timeline, part of this huge expansion into the game of pickleball with eventual goal of 200 plus dedicated indoor courts by 2030. Claude Okin, not only the former World Team Tennis coach, but also the president and CEO of Sport Time. Claude, thanks for joining us on Sports Jam and continued success.
Thanks, Doug. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you.
Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows by going to wbgo.org/sportsjam or wbgo.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Special thanks going out this week to Joe Favorito for hooking us up with Claude Oaken. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.